it is, in a way, an enigma similar to all the stories you've heard about the plains of Nazca, which I go into in great detail in this Earth Files report. But the plains of Nazca are quite different from what we are talking about. And the first people to see any of this were the Royal Air Force pilots from England in 1921 after World War I. They were flying a mail route that went from Cairo to Baghdad, and here they were seeing these strange circles, large. Some of them are 300 feet in diameter.
Jeez.
And they are divided like you would make wedges. Maybe like a pie with narrow, think of a pie that is cut with narrow slices. And one of the pilots named Maitland, he was so completely baffled by all of these patterns in this dark black lava that he actually took photographs and wrote up something for the 1927 Journal of Antiquity, which still has the original report now archived online, and I got a link to that at Earth Files. Well, there were other investigations in the 70s and 80s by a woman, Professor Alison Betts from the University of Sydney. She was trying to understand how Iranian and Mesopotamian cultures had emerged and evolved, and she was baffled by these strange circular patterns. And then, while she was there, a young Scotland student named David Kennedy was completing his PhD in 1980 at Oxford University in England. His subject was Roman history and archaeology, and he first taught in England, and then he went on field trips to Jordan. And he was very interested in the fact that the Roman Empire included Arabia for 500 years, that in which Jordan was part of that, which means the Romans had influence on that part of the world. By 1990, he became a professor of classics and ancient history in the School of Humanities at the University of Western Australia in Perth. And his emerging passion was to study aerial photographs of the Middle East lands that were either so difficult to reach on foot or politically. And he explained to me, quote, "I was given a lot of photographs by the Jordanian army in the 1970s, old survey photographs. It was the interpretation of those that began to reveal just how many thousands of archaeological sites there were in Jordan. I've been working there every year since 1976 and some in Turkey as well." And then in the beginning of 1997, the Jordan Air Force began to fly Professor Kennedy every year in what has become the only program of aerial archaeology outside of Europe. Recently, only a few days before he left Perth, Australia for another trip to Jordan, Professor Kennedy talked to me about the mysterious lava rock patterns that have kept him returning year after year, and the exhilaration of his first flight with the Jordan Air Force in 1997. Here now is Professor Kennedy.
It was wonderful. I was being taken for the first time flying over this landscape that I had wanted to work on for over 20 years. Nobody had done any aerial archaeology there before. I was being flown in this old American Huey helicopter over these archaeological sites one after another, and it was absolutely wonderful. Not just the Roman sites, but these wheels that turn up in the basalt desert as well in large numbers. So it was one of the most exciting days of my academic career. Fortunately, it led on to annual flying that we were allowed to do every year from 1997 until today.
How many of these, what you're calling wheels or circular patterns in the flat landscape, do you think there are in Jordan and Syria and Saudi Arabia?
The area of lava that we're talking about is called Harat al-Sham. It spreads across from southern Syria, across through the Jordanian panhandle, and into northern Saudi Arabia. It's one large lava field. In the Jordanian part, these wheel structures, I would guess that we're talking about 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 of them.
These wheel-like patterns can only be seen from the air, correct?
They're very difficult to identify on the ground. And at ground level, one of the groups of them that we've looked at, something like 38 of these wheels in the group, if you're standing beside one, you can perhaps just discern that there's a second one 200 or 300 meters away, but you won't see anything beyond that. you'll be almost completely ignorant. There's a 36 beyond that, mm-hmm. because today the walls of them stand, you know, perhaps 50, 60 centimeters high.
Why would people 2,000 to 9,000 years ago be making all of these thousands of patterns in a rocky lava to be seen only from the air?
I thought once they might be fairly elaborate burial places, but I'm moving away from that idea as well now, because I've not seen a single example where you can demonstrate that there's been a burial there. So at the moment, I don't know what they're for.
Is there anything carved in rocks or caves or any information from that 2,000 to 9,000 period that might even suggest why thousands of these would have been made?
There's nothing that I know of, and I've looked at the literature written by prehistorians who specialize in the Middle East, and I've not seen anything there that would offer an explanation. We're still searching for an explanation. The pilots, when they asked Bedouin back in the 1920s, do you know these structures in the desert? The answer was yes, the Bedouin knew that they were there. Europeans were just discovering them, but the Bedouin had always known that these things were there. When they asked them, what are they? The Bedouin didn't know. Their answer was, they're the works of the old men. That seems to have meant, because you get the same answer coming up in Saudi Arabia as well in relation to similar structures there, that seems to mean that they think these structures are pre-Islamic when they talk about the old men, not part of the region since the arrival of Islam in the 7th century AD. They belong to the period before that. Field work that's been done since then, that is the case. They're not only pre-Islamic, but they're pre-Roman, and quite possibly pre-Roman by 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years.
And that's how you get to possibly as old as 9,000?
Yes.
And what about the plains of Nazca in Peru, south of Lima? I have flown over them in a small plane, and I have seen how they are pressed into the ground.
They're quite different. I quite often refer to the Nazca lines. That's not because they're the same in any way. You know, we don't have any exotic birds or fish in the patterns in the stone structures in the Middle East. I refer to the Nazca line simply because what I'm seeing in the Middle East seems to me to be something equally deserving of attention. They are so numerous, they extend over such a large area, and they're considerably older than the Nazca lines. You know, the Nazca lines, as I understand it, date back to a period of, what, about 1,500 years ago, give or take 2 or 3 centuries. What we're looking at in the Middle East is much older than that. It's much more extensive. It's over a far larger area, and there are far more items in the landscape. So it's not that the two things are in any way the same, except as a major phenomenon that is very much deserving of attention. And while everybody has heard of the Nazca lines, virtually nobody's heard of this material in the Middle Eastern desert.
Throughout the history of the world, though, there has always been a fascination by human cultures with the sky and stars and constant references to star people and certain constellations like the Pleiades and Orion. Is it possible that in both these cases, Peru and the Middle East, that these were made having something to do with star people or the stars?
Someday somebody may come up with a fine explanation for it, but at the moment, I don't know what the answer is.
Well, I understand that there are stone circles also in South Africa, extremely ancient and worn down. I wonder if there is a period of time in the 2,000 to 9,000 years when there were stone circles all over the planet.
I've been shown photographs of the South African material, and it doesn't look particularly like the structures that we've got in the Middle East. Stone circles are not uncommon. There are large numbers of them from the Bronze Age and Iron Age across Western Europe as well. Stonehenge, everybody's heard of. We just have a quite different form in this part of the Middle East. I don't know why it is. People that you're talking to on the ground there, they've never seen these things from above, so they don't realize just how numerous they are and how strange they look in their patterns.